Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The cases against Donald Trump, the former president, are spread out from, to my knowledge, New York to D.C. to Florida. However, we welcome Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online to review the two cases that will be decided federal court. That would be the cases brought by Special Counsel Smith, one for the District of Columbia, supervised by Judge Chutkan, an Obama appointee, and another by Judge Cannon in the Florida, Palm Beach constituency, I believe. And Judge Cannon is a Trump appointee. Andy, a very good evening to you. The Smith cases look to me to be challenging the understanding, can a president be prosecuted while in office? Can a president be prosecuted after he has left office for actions he took while he was president? And then there's the distinction made between prosecuting criminally and prosecuting civilly. Help me understand the precedence for all of this, because this, I believe, reaches back to the Nixon era. Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. That's right. It does go back to the Nixon era. Although, importantly, John, the point that you raise, which is the main important point, that is to say, the idea of whether a president or former president can be criminally prosecuted based on actions he took as president, which are within the ambit of his executive responsibilities, is a question the court has never addressed, the Supreme Court. It has addressed whether the president can be subject to civil lawsuits for official actions. The answer to that is no. It has addressed whether a president can be subject to civil lawsuits for private actions that are not within the ambit of the presidency. The answer to that is yes, and that's a Clinton precedent. And it has, around the edges, suggested that criminal prosecutions are less amenable to immunity claims than civil. So, for example, President Nixon was required to comply with a subpoena in connection with a criminal trial for the White House tapes. And President Trump was required to turn over financial information to prosecutors in New York. So those aren't cases where they were indicted, but they were cases where the court ruled that the demands of the presidency, as important as they are, do not relieve the president of the obligation of cooperating with a criminal investigation. So the trajectory of all this suggests that a president does not have immunity from prosecution for criminal prosecution for actions taken as president that are part of his official responsibilities. But that's educated speculation. The Supreme Court has not actually ever decided that.
That is, you have a question.
Yes, Andy, to be clear, this has nothing to do with whether or not the charges and the accusations leveled against the president have any merit to them. This is just a question of whether any president can be prosecuted criminally and potentially civilly, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the other thing about that, Thaddeus, that's important to highlight is, aside from it not being about any particular president, the other important issue that has to be distinguished is what is an official act of a president versus something that's considered to be a private or a non-official act. It's not always easy to distinguish that. So, for example, campaign activity, like cutting a campaign ad, is generally deemed to be a non-official private political act, not a presidential act. But if a president was in the middle of a campaign appearance and did something like, say, announced that he was firing the Secretary of State, that would be an official action, even if the context of it was ostensibly unofficial. So I think it's not always a simple matter. In fact, it's more often than not a simple matter to sort out whether a president is acting officially or not. And obviously, the big problem here is the doctrine that does not allow presidents to be subjected to civil suits over their official actions is driven by the fact that we don't want presidents performing their official actions out of fear that they could be subjected to lawsuits over them. Frankly, I don't see what the difference is between fearing civil lawsuits in that context and fearing criminal prosecution, especially nowadays when it seems very obvious that there is a partisan edge to criminal prosecution.
To make this more complicated, there are actually three cases, two of them criminal. Those would be Special Counsel Smith. One of them civil. That would be Blasingame versus Trump. I want to concentrate on the criminal because therein lies the most room for interpretation. The criminal establishment here is that can, according to Judge Tanya Chutkan, who has just passed down her ruling on immunity, is that the criminal can go forward because the president doesn't enjoy immunity from criminal misconduct, according to Judge Chutkan. Do I have that right, Andy?
That is correct, yes.
Judge Cannon in Florida has not ruled similarly. You, however, introduce, as you have told us for some time, that there are details, specific details in the Florida case having to do with documents, government documents that may or may not have been abused. The discovery of documents that are confidential will take so long that there's not likely to be a trial until after the 24 election. And Judge Cannon has not ruled as of yet. Do we expect her to rule?
We do expect her to rule ultimately, John, but you're quite correct. The classified information that is attendant to the Florida case is governed by a provision of law known as the Classified Information Procedures Act. And without getting into the weeds of that, I can simply say it makes it very difficult to get a case to trial because all the classified information admissibility issues have to be litigated prior to trial, and there are possibilities of appeal. And what that means is even though Judge Cannon has not yet formally abandoned her plan to go to trial on May 20th, now appears that it's utterly unrealistic to expect that that's going to happen, and it's more likely the case will be put off until after the 2024 election.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Andy, we're seeing this throughout many democracies in Europe and Latin America, especially the judiciary becoming increasingly part not only of law, but in policy decision making. Isn't this another attempt at that?
Yeah, I think it's certainly an attempt at leveraging the justice system for political purposes. Now, the one pushback I think that might be appropriate with that is I suspect, Thaddeus, that the Supreme Court, even though former President Trump will ultimately ask them to review Judge Chutkan's ruling, I think, you know, first it has to go to the D.C. Circuit, but I suspect they'll uphold it. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to take the case because I don't think they want to be injected into the politics of the 2024 election. But I do agree with you that there's a trend of the law enforcement apparatus, both prosecutors and judges, getting themselves deeply involved in politics. And I don't think it's a healthy trend anywhere.
I'm speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online. My colleague and co-host is Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. And we're discussing the complications of, as we go into the election year, of federal prosecution, state prosecution, and New York City prosecution of a former president who is a candidate for the presidency. When we come back, we're going to focus on the Judge Chutkan's decision, because that, as Andy just indicated, is going to higher review, perhaps as far as the Supreme Court. No, likely as far. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.